Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome back to another special. This is a special edition of Leaving the Ring Radio. I'm your host, Dave Duenas. Trying to get my host, Gabriel Montoya, on with us here. And he's telling me to try again. For some reason, it's not going through. But we got a special guest, Tyson Fury, the heavyweight from the UK, who's been calling everybody out from boxing to MMA. He's going to be coming on. I'm going to call him in about 1 minute here. Try to get Gabriel Montoya with us on the line, so that we can conduct this interview. And we have a lot of questions. I know I have a lot of questions for him, especially about, I don't know if I want to call him Twitter rants, but he's been calling everybody out, and I know that he's been a bit frustrated not getting any of the Klitschko fights. You know, he won the WBC Eliminator belt with Kevin Johnson, and I'm not really sure what has become about it. You know, I'm not sure what the WBC have spoken, if they've spoken to him, if they written him a letter, or if they've told him that he has to jump another hurdle in order to get a chance at one of the heavyweight champions of the world, the Klitschko brothers, you know, either with Latimer or Vitaly. So we're going to find out in a minute here, and I'm not getting any luck in calling Gabriel. I'm trying to get a hold of him before I call Tyson Fury, so that we can talk to him here on the radio show. So if anybody wants to call in after and maybe discuss what he has to say, and you know, he's a character. I heard he's pretty vocal, and he knows exactly what he's aiming for and what he's looking for. So you can call in 347-215-7598. We still are going to have our Thursday show, but I made this one special just because the fact he's in the UK, and the time that we go on, it's pretty late down over there. So in order to conduct this interview, get this interview with Tyson Fury, I had to do it at an earlier time, and we had to do it live because there was no other way of recording it and then putting it on the show. So I know a lot of people are going to miss this one because I didn't announce it or anything like that. However, we'll probably put the clip on Thursday show as well. I'm not getting any luck with Gabriel, man, unfortunately. I don't know what's going on. He did say he's on. Try one more time and see if we can get a hold of him. So let me, I'll probably just call him at, in his cell phone, because we're not getting any, I'm not getting any luck with him. And we got to call in to Fury in a bit. Actually, we need to call him right now. So as soon as we get Gabriel on, Okay, hold on. He says he's on cue. So let's patch him in. Hey, Gabriel, you there, brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know what's going on with Skype. It's for some reason it's saying you're not on, and I've been trying and stuff. I got to call in Tyson Fury. So let me do that.
It's fine. Yeah. No, we're good.
Okay. So let me get him on here. And we'll get the show on the road here.
It's like, poor Dave, I got to get on the air. Hate being alone. Oh, Bart, there's no hate.
It's, okay, so just bear with me really quick. We're going to be calling him in right now. Add him to our call. And we should have him on. So anyways, I'm excited to hear what he has to say. You know, he was calling out the UFC heavyweight champion, Cain Velasquez. He was calling out Bob Sapp. He's been calling. Yes, this is Dave Duenas and Gabriel Montoya from Leaving the Ring Radio. We have a scheduled interview with Tyson Fury.
Yes, he's a little bit put back. I'm expecting him. He's going to be at 20 minutes.
Okay, do you want us to call back in 15, 20 minutes?
if you can, please, yeah, and I'll have him on the phone. He's just getting changed for his training, but I'll get him on the phone. If you ring back,
yeah,
I'll make sure he's available.
Great. Now is this Peter Fury?
It certainly is.
And you're his trainer, right? Am I correct?
I am his trainer, yes.
Do you have a few minutes to speak to us here?
Yeah, carry on. Why not? It's always a pleasure.
Great, man. Well, hey, thanks. I appreciate you for taking the time to speak to us here on the radio show. You know, we're located in the U.S. And, you know, I've been wanting to interview Tyson for some time. Let me ask you this, you know, because this is a question I was going to ask Tyson. But let me ask you, since I have you on the line, what do you think that needs improvement in his arsenal or in his defense or on his offense? What is the improvement that you see that needs to be fixed before he carries on in his career?
Not much, really. Now he's just a bit of fine tuning, really, because now he's on a world stage. Just you know, basically more fights. I think the more fights he gets, bearing in mind he's still only 24, you know, and as soon as he gets more fights, he'll just get more, refined as time goes on. But he's learning his job very, very good. If anything he can improve on, he just needs to tighten up a little bit more on his defense.
You know, what I like about him, and this is something not really rare when you see a very tall guy, 6'9", I like that he's very active. He's not very conservative. I don't know if that has to do with age. You know, he's 24 years old. He's young. But he really knows how to let his hands go at the right moments in the right spots. Is that something that you contribute with him in training, is to make sure that his hands are consistently moving?
Yeah, you know, and basically you're going to see something special in his next fight because he can go even – he's a hell of a athlete. And what I've done for Tyson is bring him back to what his natural gift is. He's a mover. You know, Tyson is on his feet. He's not somebody that stands still. Such a big guy. You know, a lot of people you get, they stand still and looking for the big shot. He's not. He's a throwback. He's the guy can move like a middleweight. He's so fast. You know, we put a pad session on YouTube just yesterday. You know, he's doing three rounds on the pads and you'll get it up and you just see how quick he is and how he moves around the ring. You know, he's got all the moves, the head movements, he rolls with the shots. You know, he steps from side to side, he creates at angles. And you know, the thing is with Tyson, it's getting him to box and use his boxing brain now, where before he likes to fight. He likes to get in and have a go. But now I've got him on the defensive and he's just using his skill and he's using his boxing, slipping and riding the shots. He's coming into a world-class athlete.
I'm going to pass it over to my co-host, Mr. Gabriel Montoya from Max Boxing, leaving the ring. I still got some more questions for you, but go ahead, Gabriel.
Do you think the Chisora fight was the big turning point in terms of really knowing that he could perform on this world stage? It seems like Tyson has had the fights that he's had since. He's been on, you know, several knockout streaks, four in a row, and then looked solid in the Johnson fight. But for you, is there a specific fight where you knew that this is going to be a fighter that could compete on a world stage?
Well, I've always knew, with him being my nephew as well, I've always knew he had the talent, you know, and he's had raw, natural talent. And when he boxed the likes of Chisora and all this, it was because he wanted it himself. He had no real trainers there. He was just doing it himself. And he was just doing the best he could. And if you can get to 17 fights, 17 wins and win British titles without proper training at the back, then you got something special. So yeah, he has got all the ability in the world.
What's his? You know, I would say that the fighters have kind of three careers. You know, they're amateur and pro careers, but they also have like a street fighting career more often than not that they do. Was he a street fighter? Was he a guy that you knew early on? This kid has a talent for violence.
No, believe it or not, Tyson, he's never had a street fight because his family come from people that fight on the street.
And, well, his father was a fighter too as well, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, he comes from this type of a family. So Tyson, from being like 16, 15, he's been in the boxing gym, 14, 15, 16. So he's never really got into any trouble and he's just, he loves to fight and, you know, he's locally. He's just doing it in the ring.
You know,
was his father a boxer or a bare knuckler?
He was both. He got to know.
Oh, wow.
He lost to Henry Akinwande for the British title in back in the day. He was like number three in England or something. He had 17 fights and a couple of losses, something like that.
Wow. What do you think he's contribute his style? Because you know what I've seen of him, he's not that traditional European fighter. You know, he does the shoulder roll. He likes to sometimes trap himself so that he can set up some combinations of his own. I like his head movement. He throws, and you know, one thing that I was really impressed with is that when he throws his straight right, he likes to throw it, and if he does tag you or if he doesn't, he likes to counter it with a right hook. So where does that style come from? Where did he get the influence of fighting like that?
Well, it's because we work three times a day in the gym. And, you know, we perfect things on in the sparring, you know, time and time again. I'm telling them to get out the ring, start again, do it again, stop, start, do it again. You know, we're perfectionists and we get everything properly. And, you know, we've got a good eye for boxing because we come from fighting people. So we know exactly what it takes to be a fighter. But more so than anything, you can't turn a cart horse into a racehorse. You've got to have the natural ability to begin with. And the thing is with Tyson, he's got that natural ability. You know, he is a thoroughbred fighter. You know, he's meant for the ring. And I'm not just saying that because I'm his trainer and I'm his uncle. You know, I'm a realist. You know, Tyson Fury has got a lot to give. And he's going to shock the world because he's coming and he's coming fast. And we're hoping to take a world title this year. And I don't think when he takes a world title, it's going to be much of a problem for him because he's got so much ability.
Being a realist, like you just said right now, you think the next fight should be with the Klitschko's? Do you feel that he's ready for that, or should he move on and fighting like a Robert Hellenius or David Price?
I think he's past Robert Hellenius, and I think David Price is not where Tyson Fury is at the moment. I think what we're trying to do now, we're trying to get him into mandatory position for the WBC and then go for that WBC title later this year. If you ask me if he's ready for the Klitschko's, he's 24, and he's only had one real world-class opponent, which is Kevin Johnson. I see all the other opponents as domestic fighters, good domestic fighters, but not on the world level. You know, you could argue now that Chisora is on a world stage because he had a good fight against Klitschko, although he lost dramatically. And that's about it, really. So with Tyson having time on his side, it's always ideal and better for me for Tyson to have more fights because then, As every time Tyson fights, Tyson's getting better and better and better. So the more he fights, the more better he's going to be. So I'm not too bothered if he gets a Klitschko now or not. Mm-hmm. If we got Vitaly, we'd take it straight away. But, you know, we'll have to see. So ideally for me, a couple of more, two, three fights, and he gets a Klitschko. But if we can get, say, Vitaly straight away, then we will take it.
You know, I'm just a bit confused because that Kevin Johnson was supposed to be a WBC eliminator, you know, title fight, and the winner was supposed to get one of the Klitschko's, preferably Vitaly. What happened there? I mean, has the WBC contacted you guys after that win and spoke to you guys about moving forward and getting one of those fights?
Well, you know, all these WBCs and all these ratings are crazy for me, you know. We thought he was an eliminator. And the next thing we hear, he's back to number three. I think he was in that position before he fought Johnson. So we have no idea. But the main thing for me is, you know, we're not really in a desperate rush to grab hold of the world title, but he's on that level. And the thing is, you know, we're going to take it, and he's coming, and he's coming fast. So we want to get in the mandatory position, so there's no excuses. Nobody can duck us. They can't do anything. So, you know, if we get the fights, we'll take them. And if we don't get them, then we'll just keep going until we get to the WBC, which is not far away because there's Areola and Stephen. So I think the winner of those will go on to fight Vitaly. And I don't know. We'll just have to see and just keep fighting. But Tyson's out again in March in the USA. So we look forward very much to that because we can't wait for that. And after then again, he'll fight in June. And hopefully, you know, who knows, we might get a world title shot in September or October.
Right. Gary, you have any input?
Just keep him fighting. He can only get better.
Right.
Like you said, where he's at as far as his tools and everything, the only things he's going to learn are what the fighters are going to teach him, you know, what the fights are going to teach him. I'm really excited about him. There's something I'm curious. Is he in character or out of character right now, the way he's kind of talking in the press, calling guys out in the UFC? What is that?
Tyson's, how can I put this? He's a joker. He likes to talk a lot. He likes to wind people up. He's everything. But in real life, you know, you can have an interview on the phone with Tyson. That's still not, you're never going to get the real person until you talk to him in person, face to face. You know, he's one of them. He's an extrovert. He's a very unusual character. You know, he's to say the least. You know, and he's very loud. You know, and he talks so long as he talks just like he fights. So, you know, what can you say?
He's got a lot of fury in him.
Yeah, he certainly has. And but I agree with you. I agree with your earlier comment. You know, the only thing he's going to learn is what the fighters can produce themselves, because to learn properly and, you know, to become an experienced world-level athlete, you know, you have to fight world-class people. And every fight, you take something from that. You know, now, Tyson's had three fights with me. He's had Rogan, Madelone, and now this. So in 1 year, look at the difference, how he's come on, he's developed, and he's coming on all the time, and we're practicing different things. But even since the Johnson fight, which took him the 12 rounds, He's a different character from that fight. He's matured again. So you're absolutely right what you're saying. You know, we need world-class opponents. We don't need pushovers. We need top 10 fighters to bring little bits by piece, more out of Tyson, to bring him on, because I'm not interested in Tyson winning a world title. I want him to hold on to it and do very good for boxing, which he's capable of.
I don't think they would let Adam McNair Tyson, but say like Areola, I guess everybody's kind of angling for that title shot. I've always kind of felt that, you know, there's the Klitschko's and kind of everybody else, although your guy has the size and the attributes to deal with them. He doesn't have the experience, in my opinion. He's getting there. I think you're right. He's probably ahead of the pack. I really like David Price, but he's not quite experienced yet. Who do you look at among those top guys? I mean, do you think there's almost better fights to be made without Klitschko's? More exciting fights, I guess, would be the correct term.
You know, it's very difficult to say. You know, the Klitschko's, they just do what's necessary to win, the businessmen, and they don't take chances at all. And then some people can say they make it a little bit boring. It's very hard to say. You know, there's some good heavyweights out there. You know, and I think for us, you know, I don't really rate the heavyweight division at the moment as being the best thing since sliced bread. You know, everybody goes on about David Price over here. You know, he's a good kid, but he's not even been hit yet. So, you see so many people with padded records what's not been hit back, and everybody's raving on about them. And 9 times out of 10, when you get big, big punches, they can't take a punch. So, you know, there's being a world champion, world-class material, and being... and just failing before you get to the top of the ladder. So my views are very open. I'm skeptical of everything because I'm one of these. When I see it, I see it. But at the moment, I'm not excited in saying, oh, this is going to be a great champion, you know, because I don't really see that much out there in the heavyweight division.
Well, you're right. It's about professional resistance, you know, and I've seen Tyson, you know, Chisora gave him a fight, you know. He's been in fights, and he's had resistance, and Price hasn't had that yet. You know, I mean, you know, bum-rushing Ogden Harrison isn't... It was impressive, but I mean, if you were bum-rushing Ogden Harrison, you know, in his last fight.
Let me just say this. Ogden Harrison is the biggest bum in boxing. And I'll tell you something else. My lad, yeah, put and won 10,000 sterling pounds that he get blasted in the round. So that's how good Harrison is. He was up... Listen,
wow.
He's been fed a bunch of bums, Price, and we're yet to see him in with a class heavyweight. And, you know, no matter how they can hype him up, you know, we can say the same about, you know, Deontay Wilder. All these kids, they've got the potential, but we've not seen anything with a class of opposition they're getting in with. Now, is it wrong or right? It's okay. It's okay for them to box bums like this, but before they start shouting off and getting the public to say this or that, let's see what they're like now they come to step up. Because at the moment, we haven't seen anything.
Oh, I agree. You know, Wilder, I mean, I kind of give him a break because he's not much of an amateur career. What was Tyson's amateur career like? Is it, I mean, he comes from a fighting family,
Tyson,
so you already kind of have a leg up.
Yeah, Tyson had 35 fights, three losses. He won a bronze in the world juniors. He won an ABA seniors. He won quite a bit as an amateur, but he didn't have so many. He had about 35 fights.
That's solid, though. I mean, that's not that many. You know, usually guys have more, but still, that's solid. I think Wilder had like 11. You know, they're kind of developing him that way, but at some point, somebody's got to punch him back. I saw him get dropped at Fantasy Springs Casino out here in Southern California, and this guy,
yeah.
Sconyers, dropped him. And I think he dropped him twice, if I'm not mistaken. Or he fell a couple times from the same punch. But you're absolutely right. Sometimes the biggest guy, that's the guy that's not used to getting hit. It's the smaller guys that got bullied their whole lives or had to grow into being a heavyweight. Was Tyson always a big kid? Did he learn how to fight when he was smaller?
Tyson comes from fighting people, you know. These lads of ours are brought up tough, you know. And it's not just a fluke. I've got a son here, you know, his first cousin. They train and work together. He's 6'6". And he's just won a gold. He's a junior world champion, you know, a super heavyweight.
Wow.
You know? These kids are brought up to fight. You know, this is what when they're grown up, they watch me and his father, you know, Tyson's father and myself. We always used to spar together, train together. We'd go and have fist fights together for money. And these kids, the little kids, when they're sucking a lollipop, are watching the fathers fight day in, day out, you know. They know nothing else but to fight because that's what they're brought up with. So these kids are determined. Can they fight? Yeah, they can because they've got no option.
Huh. For my money, that's why I like Areola Tyson Fury the most, because Areola was a junior middleweight as an amateur. And, you know, so he knows, him and Tyson both know things that the other guys don't know. They learned, you know, when they were bigger. I don't know about David Price, but he's also gigantic. 6'6", what's going on with you, these kids? 6'9", 6'6"?
Well, I don't know, you know, my brother, he was bigger than me. He was 6'3", and I'm only 6'1". So, but, you know, they've obviously, I don't know, I'm going to ask our wives, you know, have they been to see the milkman or something?
The 6'1 is still a big guy there, Peter. I mean, we know us Mexicans only get about 5'10", 5'11". Chris,
I'm quite right on it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, an Irishman travelers is with the background you guys come from. You know, as Americans, explain us exactly what that means.
Well, to us, we do come from travelling people, and our background is Irish. We come from Irish ancestry. We was born in England, but our fathers and grandparents are from Ireland. You know, we all come from fighting people, and you know, we're proud people, and you know, we fight with heart and determination, and it's a very proud thing. And there is no surrender here. You know, there's no backsteps. You know, if a man gets beat, he gets beat, but. For us, it's a very proud thing, and, you know, it's having that fighting spirit and tradition, and it goes back hundreds of years in our family. So there's a lot at stake and a lot of pride at stake, you know, and, you know, we're in the fight game. We love the fight game. We've been in it all our lives, and we studied the sport, and we love the sport of boxing. That's the thing. You know, we're dedicated, and we love the sport, and, you know, that's what can you say? You know, you love things with a passion, and this is it. It's your life, isn't it? That's what you go for.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know if Tyson is ready for us. If not, we can call back and get him on because, you know, like I said, we've been really looking forward to interviewing him and speaking to him here on live on Leaving the Ring.
So really,
I will make sure that you speak to him. I'm going to get up now because I have to go and pick him up. And as soon as I pick him up, I'm taking my phone with me. So if you ring me back in 15 minutes, he'll be on the phone.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you. I appreciate it. We'll call you back.
Hey, you're welcome. See you in a moment.
Pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
And you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peter Fury is the uncle and trainer of Tyson Fury. And, you know, they come from a fighting family. And a lot, you know, interesting what he's got to say. You know,
Yeah, very interesting.
I wanted to interview him, and I reached out to Hennessy Sports. was their promoter, and I was trying to get him on our normal schedule Thursday nights. Thursday nights. But, you know, just because of the time difference, us being in the U.S. and then being in the U.K., and we've had a lot of Leaving the Ring listeners, you know, pounding our door asking us that, you know, we need to interview more United Kingdom fighters, you know, and why don't we? Are we just strictly for American fighters? And we're not. It's just the time difference. And right now that I'm on vacation, I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to take the time to try to get some of the UK fighters that myself and Gabriel here have watched and been wanting to sit down and talk to live on the air. So our first guest is obviously going to be Tyson Fury, who's a heavyweight and who's been stirring it up in the media. He's been stirring it up with his tweeting, been stirring up, being very vocal on and what he wants to do. His uncle pretty much painting the picture that, you know, he's a bit of a jokester, but at the same time, you know, you're never going to get the true Tyson, what he's thinking and what he's aiming for, you know. As soon as I did announce that we are going to have him on, I immediately started getting emails and texts, and, you know, I'm surprised how many fans are upset that he doesn't want to take on the David Price fight, you know. And Bob Sapp's head trainer, which is Rick Cowards, he just texts me right now, and they want to tune in and listen because Tyson Fury did call out Bob Sapp, who was a K-1 Pride fighter at one time. He was a super heavyweight MMA fighter. And Henry Ramirez, who's a good friend of the show, you know, and he had some good things to say about Tyson Fury. He said he's was really impressed with him. You know, he thinks that he's a very good heavyweight. And you know that they wouldn't even shy away of getting, if there was an opportunity of getting Chris the Nightmare Oyela and Tyson Fury, that's a great fight right there. There's an explosion in that one there.
Dude, I want Tyson Fury versus Areola. I think that's a great fight. I just think that, you know, both guys will just get it on. Like I said, they're both complete fighters as heavyweights. You know, I mean, the complete, are they Floyd Mayweather? No. But, I mean, they know how to bob and weave. They know how to move around the ring in a way that other heavyweights kind of don't. There's a fluidity to them that your average heavyweight burned late doesn't have. I just think it also, you know, both getting along and experience. I like those fights. You know, but David Haye would be another fun fight. The regular size heavyweights, particularly David Haye versus Areola, though. I think it would be a fun fight. Because Fury's so big, it is a problem for people. He'd be a problem for Areola, but I think Areola could give him trouble. I think he can land that right.
You know,
it'd be fun.
The sad part about it is David Haye has no interest in fighting any likes of, you know, Chris and Tyson Fury or even the David Price. He stated that his eyes are on the heavyweight, you know, titles. And that's the only way you're going to see him get back into the ring. You know, he came out of retirement for Derek, but went back in retirement, supposedly. You know, I guess we got to reach out and find out a little bit more whether or not it would be of interest. I mean, I think it makes all sense to see him get in with one of these top heavyweight contenders. And
the Chisora fight proved theory. We've always talked about this, that there are better fights to be made outside the Klitschko fights. That was a great fight. I don't care what anybody says. That was a highlight of last year that people kind of overlooked was the Chisora slap, he glassed me, and then the freaking fight.
Right.
You know, it was such a good fight. I thought it was a great fight for boxing. I thought the press conference battle was great for boxing. I really don't care what people think about, you know, the decorum. This is, you know, we're in a blood sport that's as dirty as it all gets. You know, so, I mean, just don't talk to me about, I mean, I guess, well, the press conference was before the fight, like, well before the fight, but still, it was still an event from last year, and that fight was significant, and it got people talking about the heavyweight division in a way that they hadn't in a long time.
Right.
The division's quietly grown and has developed a few guys. I mean, I agree with Peter's assessment of everyone. You know, Tyson's quietly gotten like
WrestleMania has kind of fell off there. I thought he was the guy. I don't think he's the guy anymore, you know. Fury, I still am not quite sold on him, but I'll take him as the most experienced guy. And Ariola is rebuilding, but, you know, they had all that activity, and then they just sat and they wasted all of last year. He looks in great shape. I'm sure he's hungry, and maybe it was good for him to get acclimated to the weight that he's at now, but we'll see in this Taverne fight. I mean, you just can't waste a year of a heavyweight's career. I mean, how do you not make money for a year? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Or get experience, you know.
That's all you're doing.
What's that?
No, it doesn't make any sense. Fight fans, you want to call in 347-215-7598. You certainly can. Speak to it myself, Dave Duenas, and Mr. Gabriel Montoya. And we could talk some boxing here on Leaving in the Ring. And we'll be calling Tyson Fury in the ring in a short bit, maybe in about 10 more minutes, be around 11:40. And his take and the strategy, I guess you could kind of say, of him doing a lot of the Twitter talking, you know, and calling out, like I said, the UFC heavyweight champion, Cain Velasquez, to Bob Sapp, and, you know, saying the Kaliskos are ducking him. And what happened with the WBC eliminator belt? I mean, we all know, I mean, that whole title there, every time we see that title there, I just don't even take it serious anymore. I don't know when the last time we've taken anything that the WBC says serious.
Yeah, I mean, even hearing him, that's why I kind of make fun of the imaginary rankings boards. Think like, this is where we need to start with boxing. This is where we need to fix the problem. And, I mean, I guess it is. But, I mean, Tyson's, like you said, we're going to fight regardless. I think that's what they need to do. They need to take fights. I don't think they're quite ready for a Klitschko. And I do believe that, you know, in terms of experience and ability, there's kind of the Klitschkos and everybody else. I mean, I think Fury against Vitaly would be a good matchup because Fury would just go for it. And he's got a rough style and he's big. You know, he's taller than both guys.
Well, he's definitely not a Tony Thompson, who was a very tall guy as well, and didn't go for it. I see Tyson as young, 24, lets his hands go. I'm not really sure about the power. That's the one thing that's big in question. Where Vitaly or even Latimer's power, it's true in their power. There's no way of getting around that. That's something that Tyson Fury is going to have to figure out, is by getting hit with a guy that has power in their right hand. The other thing, too, is the jab. What I don't like what Tyson Fury does is he likes to drop his left hand low. You know, he gets into that comfort zone. He likes to shoulder roll. But I'm not sure if that's going to work against two guys that are more patient, especially with Latimer Klitschko, more patient, more willing to be economical with his punches. And when he zeroes in, he zeroes in.
There's a little bit of like a bounce to him, to Fury. You know, I was talking about with the guys that kind of start late versus guys that started when they're younger or have, you know, just that background. Like, that's what I was getting at, you know, saying he might have a street fighting background, but they've been fighting their whole lives, you know. Tyson Fury
right.
grew up in a fighting family. I think that's gonna serve him well. When these fights, I think inevitably, like, particularly like a Chris Ariola fight, that's going to turn into something of a war. And that kind of experience, when you tested yourself at a young, young age, you know, it's just ingrained in your body. You can do this, and this is what you do.
I think it tells me a lot, too, about Tyson Fury if he takes on a Chris the Nightmare, because Vitaly Klitschko obviously knew what a lot of us knew, that Chris brings a lot of pressure and didn't fight Chris his normal stance. You know, he fought using a lot of footwork, which surprised a lot of us at the Staples Center, you know. It surprised the hell out of me. He looked like a big man with – you know, he was fleeing around like a featherweight. And I'd like to see if Tyson reverses that, or if he decides to, you know, go in the grind with Chris the Nightmare and do it in a much better fashion. If he could beat Chris, I think it tells us a whole lot in where Tyson Fury stands in the heavyweight contentions.
One thing, I mean, like you said, his defense needs to be better. You know, his arms – need to come in tighter a little bit, you know, and a little bit higher, I think. At least, you know, they don't need to be like, you know, it doesn't need to be a tight guard, you know, like a Winky Wright shell, but get your hands up, you know. I mean, I guess against the smaller guys, it's not going to matter as much. By the time they get a shot up there, you can get your hands up. But against a Klitschko, you know, he doesn't have
just
a strong front side fury. His front side offense in terms of jabs, like pistoning, he pops it a little bit more now, but it's not like a real punishing weapon like Vladimir Klitschko's is, you know, and that's something that I think he could work on, that he needs to work on.
Absolutely, you know.
He could be a problem.
I
Chisora,
you know.
Fight. Dude, I'm watching this, Chisora fight. It's just more Derek Chisora. I don't understand why people don't embrace this guy. He could make some fun fights. Him and Areola would be a great fight. A war.
Yeah. Yes, I agree,
you know,
man.
He's like the good ingredient, you know. He's like
Mayorga,
you know.
I like the fact that he sells himself in a way as that bad guy image, you know. And you know, a lot of guys that have been sitting on that sideline waiting to get the chance to get out in that field, they get a bit frustrated. Is this real frustration? I'm not sure. That's why I wanted to get him on here and talk to him. I also wanted to talk to him a little bit about Frank Warren when he was announcing about an all-British heavyweight tournament. What happened to it? You know, was he not in agreement to it? Was the other guys? Is that why it never materialized? You know, where does he go from here? And why the jump from trying to get into the cage, you know, when he's already been steadfast as a good contender, you know. I don't know. Those things, to me, are questions that I'd like to hear from him and what his thoughts are. And a lot of fight fans right now want to know the David Price fight. You know, I know what Peter Fury had said about it, saying that they don't think they're in the same position anymore or in the same area of skill level, but just like we've said this, and you've said this numerous times, we hate fights that are won on paper. We would rather watch them in the ring.
Yeah, I think all these guys are at different stages of development, so it's not even really fair to – I'm not going to criticize David Price where he's at, because he's not even claiming to be more than he is, you know. He's just they're just developing a career, you know. Fury, you know, they're also shrewd, you know. I mean, they are, you know, they come from the Irish traveler background. They're shrewd negotiators. They're going to be shrewd promoters, I think, with him. He's a, you know, Tyson knows how to be a self-promoter. You know, already he gets that innately. So, you know, they're going to be an interesting entity within boxing, I think. But he's going to be the man to beat. I'm just going to get him on the phone. That way I can eat. I like that.
You know, originally I was going to pre-record this and then throw it on Thursday's show, you know, but I couldn't find anything that would work with Skype, and Skype's been a little funky. So, and even I was looking at that Pamela Skype that I used to use. I think we used it like 2 years ago or whatnot, but the quality just wasn't very good. And there was only like 2 or 3 stars if I paid for it. So I didn't want to chance that. So I just said, you know what, let's just do it live, get it over with. And then we'll, the short clips, we can do some highlight clips of the Tyson interview if people didn't catch on that we're doing a special today, and throw it on the live Thursday night show. So I apologize. We're going to be calling in Tyson right now in about 6 more minutes, you know, just giving him some time to for his trainer and uncle, Peter, to pick him up from the gym, because he was training today, so he had to do a change of clothes. And we can get all our questions answered here on Leaving in the Ring. And at the same time, I'm getting a lot of people texting me and hitting me up and, you know, saying, why didn't I announce this last night? I did, but it was really late. I did announce it, but it was, like, super late, man. I woke up in the middle of the night, and my mind just went, you know, ballistic. I had to get up and start working on stuff, and at the same time, that's when I started working on the whole Skype deal and trying to figure out how we can record this, and I had no luck. But we're doing it anyways here live on Leaving the Ring, so we'll be calling them in. Again, you want to call in, 347-215-7598. It's about 7:40 over there in the UK. It is 11:40 a.m. over here in the States. And if you missed Peter Fury, the trainer and uncle of Tyson Fury, don't worry about it. We'll catch it on the replay on our website on leavingtheringradio.com. We got some exciting fights coming up this weekend. We're not going to talk about it today, though. We want to hold off for Thursday. Make sure everybody tunes in Thursday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern time, here on Leaving the Ring Radio. And then we'll get our boxing talk on there, 3 hours of boxing talk, and talk about the results that happened this past weekend. Solo book sale, ESPN, Friday night fights, and we had the Fox Sports fights from Golden Boy. And I had a chance to sit down and watch them all since I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
Well, I got to watch them all. It's my job. but also, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good weekend of fights, dude. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Triple G, triple header. That's going to be fun. I think people are approaching that as a showcase fight, and probably kind of is. You know, but I think Rosado is going to bring it. I think I don't think he's going to win, but... but Toledo and Garcia is really the fight. I think that fight has got it's just got all it's all substance, and it's I know some people are braying about oh God it's for the ring belt. Honestly, I don't really care. It's for the ring belt. you know, it could be for you know whatever the Flintstones belt. I really don't care. It's a really good fight, and it does kind of say whoever wins, depending how they win. If it's decisive either way, yeah, that guy's kind of the man of the division. I don't really have a problem identifying him as kind of the champ, you know, as the guy to beat. That would make sense to me. So, incidentally, I was in the ring this week. I made my ring debut, probably the only time, unless they asked me back. Dougie's Monday mailbag, I made a cameo appearance because he had a PED question that he felt I could probably answer better for him about testosterone in Nevada. So check that out. I'm in the ring. And I can still criticize them. Wow, look at that. Magic.
Yeah, there you go. You know, we don't have David Chan on, so I apologize. We're going to have to do
never
the thing.
David Chan.
I know. Well, I didn't even tell Dave about the 11 o'clock special, you know, because it was really, like I said, the plan was to pre-record it and throw it on the Thursday show. But let's back to some fight fans here on Leaving Ring Radio.
Sure.
If you want to call in, 347-205-7598. We got like 5 more minutes left before we call in Tyson Fury. Let's get area code 210. You're on live right now on Leaving Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? Nooner, that's cool, man. I was eating lunch. I saw that, man. Good shit. Hey, I had a question of y'all's. What y'all think about these heavyweights? Because back in the day, you know, Ali, the Tysons, they're more like light heavyweights. Do you think, you know, there just needs to be another cap or another weight division? Because these guys have just pretty much outgrown it.
You know, Kathy Duva, this is right after Thomas Adamick beat Chris the Nightmare. And I had a conversation with her, and I have it on video. It's up on the site. But she mentioned something, and she mentioned exactly what you said. You know, the heavyweights in those times were exciting because they were lighter guys and they're willing to throw a lot more volume of punches. The bigger guys are more economic because of the fact that they just exude more energy. So they got to conserve their energy and try to last in through the rounds and stuff. I really think that, and we've said this numerous times on the show, is that as soon as the Klitschko's depart from the sport, you're going to see a lot more exciting heavyweight fights, you know. Now, granted, are they USA fighters? No. But you could see the change in the UK fighters in styles, you know. They're not very stationary anymore, not very upright. They don't just go with just the 1-2-3 punch combinations. They mix it up a lot more. So I really think that within a year or two, with the Seth Mitchells and the Jonathan Banks and David Price and Oriellas and Cunninghams and Adam, it's going to make up for a lot of good, exciting fights, you know. The problem is these guys don't want to really face each other because they don't want to risk losing their shot of fighting the Klitschkos. And I think that's what messes up this heavyweight division at the moment. Gabriel?
Well, this is definitely not my idea of a nooner. no, I agree with what Dave said. You know, it's going to be more fun without the Klitschkos as much. Although I think Vladimir, as he ages, people are going to start to physically challenge him a little bit more. He's going to get a little more interesting. I don't think he's – in a weird way, I think he's kind of in his prime right now, even though he's what, 35, almost 36. Vitaly, I think I've said it for a while. I think he's ready to be taken. Nobody's taken the full chance to go really challenge him. Chisora kind of showed that, I think, that he can be gotten to a little bit, even by a limited banger. It was a one-sided fight, but it was kind of a close one-sided fight that Chisora was in, I thought, the whole time. But, yeah, I think when everything, you know, I think Price, with more experience, is going to be probably more of a problem than any of the other guys. But what Fury brings to the table is that intangible. He's truly a fighter at heart. And that intangible always kind of, I think, push you past skill. So I think, you know, I don't know. Is it Vladimir, it depends on, I mean, I think it's coming very soon. You know, we're going to see some good fights from him. If the Fury fight gets made, I don't see it couldn't be a good fight. You know,
I think that would be a good fight. I really do. Like I said, you know, with Tony the Tiger Thompson wasn't much of a tiger. And in Fury, I think he's going to bring exactly what his last name, you know, states. He's going to bring a lot of fury in that fight. Hey, brother, thanks for calling in. I'm going to put you back on hold. We're going to call in Tyson Fury and speak to the man of the hour.
Hi, fellas.
So let's call him in. Let's talk to him. And let's see what he's got to say.
I'm making lunch if you're worried, Myla. Yeah, there's suddenly silence all of a sudden. I just mute it. That way they don't hear me. You know, I'm held with a knife.
Just remember to unmute yourself.
Yeah, I know. I will. Well, Miss Tyson
for calling in. Thanks for calling. Right. Me too.
Hello?
Hello, Peter. This is Dave Duenas and Gabriel Montoya from Leaving the Ring.
How you doing? It's Tyson. It's not Peter.
Hey, Tyson. How you doing, man? Thanks for taking the time to speak to us here.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Well, you know, we're excited having you on. You know, we've never had a chance to speak to you, and you know, you're a very colorful person. And let's go with your the tweets, okay? Because that's really stirred up a lot of attention. You know. Was this really a heartful tweet where you wanted to get in with the UFC fighter, Mexican-American Cain Velasquez, and the K-1 Pride fighter, Bob Sapp? Or was this just something out of boredom and fun, for you know, and you know, something fun to do?
No, seriously. I'm considering fights with MMA fighters and things like that, you know. Because it seems to me that the boxers of today, they don't really want to go toe-to-toe with me, so... Maybe these MMA fighters will. They're a bit braver and a bit gamer. So we'll see what the future holds for Tyson Fury in MMA. You know, I'm definitely not ruling it out, but obviously I'm going to pursue my boxing career first. But, you know, if I was offered a big fight, then I'll take the fight because I don't think they're on a level of a boxer like me.
You know, he appeared on the ESPN Chicago, and he said, you know, like he said, I don't know who he is. He obviously, now we know who he is because of the tweet. But he said, even if the fight was mentioned to him, he said, you have to work your way up the ladder in the UFC. What do you think about that?
I think that's just an excuse. He doesn't know me because I don't think there's a fighting man on the planet that doesn't know Tyson Fury. Anybody who goes into combat sport knows Tyson Fury, so he's full of shit there for one. I'm working my way up. Why would I have to work my way up when I'm already, like, knocking on the door for a world title of boxing? I know that in the past, fighters from all different backgrounds have, at high level, just cross over and fight straight away. There's no need to build up in fights like that. Just go over, and if the fight's been made, then it's been made. You know what I mean?
I was cracking up when I see when you called him a midget, you know, and I was telling your uncle, you know, we don't get that tall being Mexican, but he's a pretty big guy, you know.
Yeah, he is a pretty big guy, but to me, he's not, is he? I'm 6'9".
Right.
And he's 6'1", so
I think
it would be a good billing. You could bill it as the man v. the midget.
I think a lot of guys would be a midget, you know, standing next to you there, Tyson. I'm gonna pass it over to my co-host Gabriel Montoya from Max Boxing and Leaving the Ring.
Yeah, I'm 5'9". Okay. I think I'm barely your leg. You know,
I think I'm up to his knee. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's crazy. We were talking at length with your uncle and just about your fighting background and.
growing up in a fighting family, can you talk about, like, your earliest memories, or the earliest fights, the times that you discovered that you liked doing this or just started doing this?
Well, my dad was a professional boxer before me, and I always remember going to the professional gyms with him when I was a kid, you know, maybe from the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I used to just go there and not do anything, just play around in the gym, but be in the atmosphere of fighters and being like an old backstreet gym in Liverpool. So ever since then, really, I got the book for it. And then I decided to get into boxing myself at the age of about 15, 14, 15. I never had my first fight until I was about 16, 17. And I just went on from there, really. I loved it.
What is it about? I mean, it's just being in there alone, proving yourself. I mean, it is, to me, the toughest game there is. Why do you love it?
You know, yeah, fighting one-on-one with another man who's trained as well as you have. It is, it's a test, you know. It's the biggest test of all. I love it so much because it's something that I love to do and I was born to do, and it's what I've been bred to do. Like, you get animals that fight each other. I'm one of them animals as a human being. That's all I ever know is fighting. I've grew up from a kid just knowing fighting, knowing nothing else. You know, if I wouldn't have been a boxer, I'd have been some other form of a fighter. It's just what I was bred to do, really. And I enjoy it so much. When I'm in there, it's just like a home to me. I can be stressed outside. I can be anything. I hit the road or hit the gym, and I forget about all them worries until I'm out again. No matter what's on my mind, as soon as I get in the gym and start working out and training and sparring and stuff, it doesn't matter what's going on outside. I'm a whole different person inside. So if any sport can do that to a person, then it's worth doing, isn't it?
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You won the WC Eliminator belt with Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
And you would think that would be enough, especially from them saying that you'd get the shot to Klitschko's. And that didn't happen. What do you think you need to do now in order to secure that fight or corner either one of the Klitschko's to give up and give you a shot at the title?
To be honest with you, I think they know what's coming for them, the plague. But what happens is, when you get a young, dangerous fighter coming up who's like number two, number three by the WBC, and you're the world champion and you're 41 or two, and you're getting on a bit, you don't really want a hard test like fighting Tyson Fury. But they want easy tests, people who've already beat before, people who hasn't got a chance, people who's got padded record, people who's got paper records. They don't want to fight a proper contender. And this is the thing with the Klitschko's. This is why no kids grow up wanting to be a Klitschko. Kids grow up wanting to be Mike Tyson, wanting to be Muhammad Ali, wanting to be all Lennox Lewis, all the great fighters. But kids don't grow up wanting to be a Klitschko. For one, they can't even say the name of them. And for two, they're not entertaining. They're very robotic, very boring. They do the same thing over and over again. Very educated men. But in the other sense, very you can't relate to them. So there we have it.
You know, I never thought about it like that, you know, to tell you the truth. You know, as soon as I announced that you were going to come on, a lot of fans have been hitting us up on our Gmail, and they're just pounding their fists down. They want to see this David Price fight. And your uncle had stated that you guys are just in two different classes now. What do you think about a David Price fight?
To be honest with you, it's a good fight, you know. It's two big heavyweights, both from Britain, both undefeated. I think it's got all the right makings for a brilliant super fight, you know. But you know what it is? He's still only the British champion. He's not on the world scene. He's taking his first step on the world stage against Tony Thompson. And, you know, if he keeps winning and I keep winning, I'm sure somewhere down the line we'll have to cross roads. But right now, you know, I'm just focused on a world title fight. I'm not going to jump back down. I give that British title up about 16, 17 months ago to go and pursue a world title. And that's what I've been doing. I've had to fight my way there. I can't just come back down and give a domestic title holder a chance at fighting somebody who's already fought his way up and fought hard guys to get there. You know, it just doesn't work like that. If you want to be a champion, you've got to be a champion, haven't you? You've got to fight and be one. But you know, I'm sure he's going to do really well, and I'm sure he's going to keep winning. You know, because he's got a good management team behind him, and they won't be putting him in with anybody who's a threat. So, you know, it's one of them things where we've got a meeting sometime in the future. But, you know, he's 30, I'm 24. He's got a lot of learning to do. I think still he's like a big amateur. He throws a 1-2 and a jab. And, you know, people, boxing fans, proper fight fans, they know you. If you're in with a world-class fighter, you just can't land that one bomb all the time. And it's
right.
not like
yeah.
a Mike Tyson where he has this terrific movement to get inside and work that power and then punches. This guy's a one-dimensional fighter. And to beat somebody like me, you have to, well, a one-dimensional fighter is never going to do it because I've got a lot more tools in the shed than he has. And it's one of them things where David Price is going to come and he's going to talk a lot of nonsense in the newspapers to try and get himself a big fight with me, which I don't blame him because how many times have I been in the newspapers and calling people out and Klitschko's, hey, everybody. And they don't fight me, do they? So there's a big line. I think he needs to get in it.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Gabriel?
Did you think at some point, too, it's the kind of news, I mean, you've come up in this, you probably don't know anything different, but the way the news works, a lot of times it looks like a guy's calling people out, but really you're just getting hammered with questions about, you know, different guys you'd want to fight, and then they take that quote and they just make it seem like you brought it up in the first place when really it was the reporter. So it's
right.
kind of that. I mean, but I agree with your assessment. I think in terms of experience, Peter, your trainer, said this as well, that you're not, like, I wouldn't say light years, but you're way ahead of the game. You've had, like, the Chisora fight. I think that was a big fight for you in terms of experience, and you've obviously gotten a lot better from it. Would you agree? I mean, which fight do you look at as a big leap for you in terms of what you learned and then what you're able to do with it?
You know, I think I've had one of the best groundings of a heavyweight contender out there at the moment. I've had a lot of undefeated fighters, a lot of different styles. I've had southpaws, tall, fat, short, skinny. I've had a lot of different styles, and I think to be a top fighter, you need to fight good opposition. And if you go if you go on the BoxRec and you check my record out and you look at the fighters that I've fought, they've all been tough, durable fighters, and they've
yeah.
come to fight. And, you know, you talk about the Chisora fight. Yeah, that was a good fight for me because everybody thought I was going to lose. There wasn't a British reporter or writer that didn't write me off against Derek Chisora. Derek Chisora was going to be too tough, too strong, and too experienced. But it was all on what he was supposed to do in a Klitschko fight, what he never ever got. Apart from afterwards, I beat him. So
right.
they ripped me off on that one, you know, and it was one of my best wins because I was supposed to lose. And when I'm supposed to lose, I always never do. So I think Kevin Johnson, though, was the biggest leap so far. It was my first proper step up into world class because I see Derek Chisora as a journeyman fighter. He's not a contender.
Sure.
He's just a journeyman for a higher level boxer, you know. He's a journeyman
yeah.
for the likes of up-ranked contenders. He'll give a good test. He's not too dangerous, and he's going to bring it, and he's going to entertain people, you know, with his attitude and that. But he's nothing more than a higher-level journeyman, Derek Chisora. But Kevin Johnson, on the other hand, was one of them fighters where you make a couple of mistakes and you're in trouble, you know. The difference
yeah.
in fighting somebody like Derek Chisora and Kevin Johnson is leagues. I would, if I had fought Derek Kevin Johnson on the same par as I fought Derek Chisora, I'd have definitely lost. It's only this past year or so where I've really knuckled down and got my training proper training program where I've actually come on enough to take on a fighter like Johnson. And to go in there and outbox him every round, give him a boxing lesson like I did, I beat him at his own game. And that's another thing why I say I've got so many tools in the shed, because if you look at the Chisora fight, I beat him at his own game on the inside. And Johnson's a defensive fighter. He likes to keep it long. And I've done exactly what Johnson wanted to do to me, to him. So I can adapt to different styles, which is, that's another good thing about me.
I really like that.
But as
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, as the biggest step up was definitely Kevin Johnson. But we're looking now to take on some more... I've learned a lot from the Kevin Johnson fight. You know, every fight I'm having these days, I'm learning a lot from. And we didn't have to take Johnson in the last fight because we've got a lot of fighters pulled out on us on that, and no one's expecting us to have a fight like Johnson. But me, personal, I'd rather get the experience of fighting a world-class fighter than fight somebody I'm just going to knock out in a couple of rounds. That's not going to help me. Maybe it might help me bank balance, or it might help me record, paper record, if I had one. But considering I want to be the heavyweight champion in the world, I need to be taking tougher fights than knockouts. You know, fighting 10 people you're going to knock out in the first round, it doesn't equate to one 12-round contest where you have to think all the way through the fight. You know, I'm just can't wait for my next fight, because I know I've learned a lot, and I'll have come on a lot from the last fight. And with this camp as well, I'll be in camp for, say, 10 weeks by the time the fight comes mid-March, end of March. So I'm really looking forward to whoever it may be.
You know, the Kevin Johnson fight was obviously a good test. I liked that fight. I saw a lot from you. But a lot of fans and even writers would consider Kevin Johnson not a major threat. Who do you think in America would be a major threat for yourself? You know, you have Cunningham, you have Banks, you have Chris the Nightmare, and even Thomas Adamick. What do you think would be a major threat to you?
Well, personally, I know boxing. I'm an encyclopedia on heavyweights. For the past 100 years, I've got a great knowledge on heavyweights. When it comes to heavyweights, I'm the man. Especially being a heavyweight boxer, I know what I'm talking about with heavyweights. And I don't see Wilder or Seth Mitchell or any of them guys, Jonathan Banks, they wouldn't beat Kevin Johnson. Kevin Johnson prepared and trained fit as he was when he fought me. These guys wouldn't beat Johnson. He's just too evasive and too skillful for him. You know, you've got to outthink a man like him rather than just go in and try and hit him. As you saw when Klitschko come in, he was just trying to hit him and I'm missing and just an awkward fight. I think he'll give anybody an awkward night, you know. But, like you say, I don't think any of them guys you've just mentioned are any better than Kevin Johnson. Cunningham, Adamek, any of them. We've offered Adamek the fight 25 times. He keeps refusing and taking other fights. The moment he's not ready, then he's taking Cunningham, Chambers. Now he's taking Pulev. We actually sat down with his promoter, my promoters did, and they said, oh, no, we'd rather take Pulev instead. So now he's going to take Pulev in Poland, which I can't say I blame Thomas Adamek, because, again, writ off, it'd be a write-off job, because, again, he's too small for me and I'm just too quick and I've got too many things in his head for a man like Thomas Adamek, another one-dimensional fighter, just tailor-made for me. But looking on the American heavyweights, I don't see anything that troubles me or dangers me or puts me in a position where I think, oh, right, I better stay clear of him. There's nothing out there. Not being disrespectful to anybody listening or anybody in the studio who thinks different, but I don't see Deontay Wilder as going to be a heavyweight champion of the world. I just see him as a padded paper record, big kid with a punch. He's just been fed people who can't fight back, basically. Untested is the word we're looking for. We just saw what happened to Seth Mitchell when he stepped up against JB. Again, Jonathan Banks is not a top heavyweight. He wouldn't last with the likes of me or Klitschko or even any of these guys, really. Again, who else is there? There's Cunningham. He's coming up from cruiserweight. He's lost controversial losses, two of his last three. You know, and who else did you say was there? Adamek again is avoiding me. You've got Brian Jennings. He seems to be a decent mover, pretty small, though. Again, can he mix it with the big guys? We don't know. And that's about it, really, isn't it?
What about Areola? What do you think about... I think he's kind of interesting in that you both, and we've talked about this with Peter also, both of you guys learned how to fight when you were not 6'8 or, you know, 6 foot, but when you were smaller. And so there's things ingrained in you physically that aren't really ingrained in the other heavyweights. Even though he's shorter than you are, what do you think about that fight?
That fight, I tell you what it'd be like. It'd be like giving me a nice Mars bar or something like that, some candy. Chris Areola is tailor-made for Tyson Fury. It'd be like putting a piece of meat in front of a butcher's axe. That's what it'd be like. It's Chris Areola, okay, he's got a decent punch in that against mediocre fighters. But look what happened to him when he stepped up. He couldn't even get near Klitschko. And look, Thomas Adamek beat him. He had a tough fight with that Manuel Quintana, the Mexican guy, another journeyman fighter. You know, he's not all what he's cracked up to be. He's had decent decent management throughout. And, you know, hopefully he beats Bermain Stivern, which I don't think he will. If Stivern comes up in shape, I think he's got a real handful there in Stivern, because a lot of people, they won't know much about Bermain Stivern, but he's a well-skilled amateur. And he had a lot of fights, I believe, as an amateur. And he's got a good pro style. He's a bit fights like a bit like Mike Tyson. He's got a good punch, but you know he can blow hot and cold. He either comes in and he wants a fight, or he comes in and he doesn't want to fight and he ends up losing. You know, we see he's got a loss there to a journeyman and a draw there to a journeyman. So, which Bermain Stivern's going to turn up? But Areola, going back onto Areola, and I think he's a definitely tailor-made fighter for me. I was speaking to Eddie Chambers last night on Twitter, and he was saying, yeah, if he can definitely get that fight, which it looks like happening, because we're just waiting to see what Fatale's going to do with his WBC belt. And if he retires, then their final eliminator turns into a vacant belt, and I'll be mandatory for the winner of Areola and Stivern. But if Fatale doesn't retire, then them two fight final eliminator, he fights the winner, and then he has to fight me anyway. But I do believe I have to fight another eliminating contest. So we're yet to find out who that eliminator is going to be against.
But it's the WBC. I think their rule is one eliminator or as many as they decide that you need to fight. I'm not sure. They have some leeway there. It's unfortunate that you guys have to kind of go through all those hoops. But, you know, we get to see more of you. And I think right now it is for you about experience, about getting more fights and just – getting more and more comfortable with who you are. I mean, what do you think has been your biggest improvement since, say, that Chisora fight? Which I thought was a nice test for you, but you've been knocking people out ever since. I mean, I think only the Johnson fight has been your only decision. Where do you see yourself physically as a fighter in terms of your tools?
You know, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. For my first 17 fights, I was training basically by myself. I was eating what I want, didn't have a dietitian, didn't have a strength program. Just a big kid, you know, with talent, who was willing to fight and get in there and give everything. I won basically on talent and heart alone a lot of my fights. Even the Chisora fight, I wasn't properly conditioned or properly fit. You know, there's only been these last three fights. My last three fights have been the only fights that I've ever been proper fit for and ever trained properly for. And actually, I can say I've eaten the correct food and done what was ever necessary to go in there and have a fight. But the whole of my career, okay, I've done well and I won them all. But basically, I was winning on pure talent and will to win and heart and determination and never saying never. You know, if you can look at some of my fights in the past, I've come in at like 270, 280. I was out of breath after a round, and sometimes I had to go 8-9 rounds. And it's just, I was sick to death of going to the well all the time. I had to go to the well, get a shovel out, and start digging when I was at the bottom of the well as well. I was running out of steam in every single fight, and it came to a stage where I thought, nah, I'm not even interested in boxing anymore. I'm just going there to pay my bills and just to have a fight, basically. I wasn't bothered if I won or lost. And it wasn't until my Uncle Peter got hold of me and said, listen, we need to speak. You're ruining your career. You know, you're undefeated in, say, 15 bouts. And what are you doing? You're coming in like a fat slob. He told me straight, you know, he wasn't afraid to tell me how it is. And I still told him, I said, yeah, I'll come down and see you and we'll work something out and you can give me some good advice. But I didn't listen. I then took another fight and another fight, two more fights, which I was hurt in one of them, and I was put down in another one. Just going in there, totally unconditioned, out of shape, fat pig again. And it wasn't until then where I had a debate with my uncle and who was going to be the best trainer to if I was going to knuckle down and do it. But I truly believe that if it wasn't for my uncle Peter getting involved, I wouldn't be on my way to a world heavyweight title. Not for the fact that I couldn't do it, just the fact that I didn't have the discipline and I didn't believe that I could ever get in proper shape. And I just wasn't really dedicated to boxing, if you know what I mean. I took it as a plaything. Yeah. It wasn't a serious thing to me. It was just something that I'd done from being a kid and I just carried on doing. And it seemed to be that I was good at winning. I know how to win. But ever since I fought Martin Rogan, Vinny Madalone and Kevin Johnson, I've been in proper shape, proper dedicated. We took a year out nearly to get in proper shape. And we come back from a boom in 2012. from 2013 were taking over the show.
Looking at your record, you know, I've been looking at this at BoxRec. You were 270 for John McDermott. I mean, you were Fat Elvis for that fight, and now you've been fighting the 240s. It seems to be a nice weight for you, the mid 240s.
Yeah, 240. I think it's a good weight for me now. This, I feel sharp. I feel fit. I feel like I can move around for 12 rounds. I can throw a lot of punches in them 12 rounds. And, you know, I'm really, really ready to take on whatever comes at me, you know. And I'm just hoping that these title holders are really going to grab the bull by the horns and take me on, you know. Everybody else seems to get a title shot. And when it comes to me, they all seem to be avoiding me. Even Alexander Povetkin, the Russian guy, we offered to fight to them when I was out of shape, when I was the out-of-shape fat kid, Fat Elvis. And he didn't want to take it then. So if I could ever get hold of Alexander Povetkin, it would definitely be a Christmas come true early. But, you know, we have to wait and things like this happen in boxing, and it's just a waiting game, isn't it? You know, you got to get the right fights at the right time. And maybe these guys will, if they don't retire first, then they'll fight, you know.
If only Povetkin could move as well inside the ring as he does outside the ring, you know, he'd be great. Yeah, I agree.
Definitely.
It's the right fight for the right time. Well, I wish you all the best, man. I can't wait to see you fight, and it's such a pleasure to finally get to talk to you.
Okay, thank you very much. God bless you. Take it easy.
Hey, all right. Our pleasure.
Okay.
We'll catch you next time. I'm leaving in the ring. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Tyson Fury, heavyweight, coming on, telling us what he has in plan, what he has planned and stored. And, you know, frustration of not getting those fights that he's been asking for and looking for. Really want to see the next move, you know.
Oh, dude, I just like what he had to say. But I want to hear what Ariel has to say about the Mars bar comment. Wow.
I know, yeah.
Wow.
My fans want to call in 347-215-7598. Let's patch in a fight fan here right now. Actually, I know him. Ratapan Plan 13. What's up, brother? You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Tyson Fury a question, but it's okay, man. I wanted to ask him if he's seen the UFC fight between Randy Couture and James Toney. Did you ask him the question? You should have asked him that, man.
No, I didn't ask him that question. I did ask him about the whole UFC thing, and he pretty much answered, I think, what a lot of other fans were kind of wondering. Like his uncle said, I don't think we're going to get the real Tyson Fury and what he thinks and what's on his mind until he does.
Well, that fight's irrelevant. I mean, it's not even people that would look at Tony versus Couture as some sort of boxing versus UFC. I mean, it was a circus. It was exactly what Dana White wanted it to be.
How would Tyson Fury do anything different to Cain Velasquez than what Tony did with Randy Couture? I mean, it would be a replay of this fight because doesn't have taken on
the way I look at it is this: it's a fantasy fight. I think Tyson's just getting publicity. He's not really going to do a UFC fight. Dana's not going to let that happen. He's shown that Dana doesn't want any of his fighters actually being with a quality boxer, and Tyson Fury's guys are on the verge of a world title fight with the Klitschko. So, to me, it just wasn't even a question I was that interested in. But you can hit him on Twitter and ask him about it, or next time we have him on, we'll ask him about it.
I think he just wanted to get, like, a lot of attention by saying that, but it's all good, man. He's a good boxer.
I think so, too. I think that's why he did it, you know. That's what I assumed right away when I saw that on Twitter. I was like, okay, you know, he needs to get his name out there. And it was a good tactic because it did. I mean, there was a lot of press about it.
Absolutely. I went on Shotok afterwards, the MMA site, the biggest, or one of the biggest, I don't know. And there were, like, a lot of threats about him. And they were talking about him all the time. So it worked. I mean, if you want to get your name out there, you just call out a UFC fighter and say you would smash him, and then it works, man. But I don't know.
All right, brother. Thanks for calling in, man. Let's get you back on hold.
Okay. Bye. Thanks.
Let's patch in another fight fan. I think I know who this is already that's calling in. Let me make sure. Henry, is that you, brother?
It's me, brother. What's going on?
Just chilling out here on the show. We're doing a nooner. That's what Gabriel's calling it. We're calling it a nooner here on Leaving the Ring. Henry Ramirez is the head trainer for Chris the Nightmare. We had we had Tyson Fury on with us a little earlier. And I'll let Gabriel tell you what he had to say about if there would be a potential fight between your fighter and himself. Gabriel?
Damn. You weren't listening. He said it'd be like giving me a Mars bar. He's like giving me some good candy. He said about fighting Chris. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
He said he would take him pretty easy.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, it would be like putting meat in front of a butcher's block. But I thought it was kind of funny. It's like two guys that have had trouble with their weight, they'd probably fight over the meat or the Mars bar before they'd fight each other, or their management would fight each other.
Yeah, you know, I mean, hey, Fury's calling out the whole world, you know. He's calling out MMA guys, and then, you know, then he figured out, oh, he's a boxer, I better talk about somebody else. No, look, I was impressed with his wins over Kevin Johnson and I think Chisora, right? And
yeah.
The Kevin Johnson win, you know, good win for him, you know.
Yeah, it was.
But let me tell you, Kevin Johnson is no Chris Arreola, that's for sure, you know.
I agree.
No, you know, he's kind of like the Stevie Forbes of the heavyweight division, you know. He'll
right.
give you 12, but he won't give you, you know, he's not going to beat you.
Right. No, I'm hey, well, that's a fight that could potentially be made. You know, but,
I think it's
you know,
an interesting fight.
You know, we got to worry about Stallone before there's a fight with Tyson Fury or anybody else, you know.
Well, he was saying that the winner of your fight might, through the weird-ass rules of the WBC, end up being, he might be the mandatory to that guy for an eliminator.
Right.
I don't know if you
right.
had
yeah,
noticed about it. But,
that's what they're saying, but, you know, with Vitaly, who knows what he's going to do? Who knows what the WBC is going to do, you know?
Yeah, that rule, you know, yeah, they say that before the fight and then after it. Oh, no, this was the double secret eliminator. Hang on a second.
Right. So.
we just giving you, like, another, like, quarter of the handshake that you get to, you know, fucking Suleiman, he'll just change the rules, you know.
Right.
It doesn't really matter. What do you think about that? As a guy that, you guys have been up and down the rankings, you and Chris and also Josecito, and gotten title shots. Where, you know, especially like Josecito got a shot at, you know, Canelo had off of a good win in another division. What do you think about, is ratings, is that something that needs to be fixed in boxing? Or is it just, it is what it is, it's kind of a mystical, political animal and it always will be?
To be honest, I think there's bigger problems with boxing than ratings, you know. First, shitty-ass judging. You know,
right.
I think that's more, I think rating, judging is more of a problem than ratings, you know. You know, because for the most part, you know, I mean, despite what the rankings, I mean, everybody eventually gets their shot, right? I mean, whether it be later, sooner or later, everybody, if you got talent and you got ability, everybody ends up getting a shot somehow, some way, you know. And that's the reality of it, you know. Everybody pretty much gets a shot. Some guys undeserving, some people long overdue. But everybody gets their shot. You know, if you've got ability and you're pretty much a mainstay in the rankings, you know, you pretty much get your opportunity.
Sometimes it sucks. Like I think Humberto Soto is going to get Manny Pacquiao finally. Like he's been chasing him since like I think 126 pounds.
Well,
and
the difference
he's finally going to get him.
So actually get more now than he would have got back then. So. And the result's going to be the same thing, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, good thing he didn't get Pacquiao, and Pacquiao was 126-pounder, a mainstay, you know, just got on his way up. Hey, I'd rather get him now when he's a megastar. Even coming off a loss to Marquez, Soto's going to get his biggest payday by far fighting Pacquiao.
Right.
Dude, that's a hell of a gold watch, you know?
Yep.
Getting knocked out by Pacquiao in his comeback fight, but you made a
huge
knock.
Who knows, though, guys? Who knows, you know?
Yeah,
right.
True.
Exactly.
Me,
well, that bell rings and that first punch is land, you know?
Anything can happen, guys. Yeah, so I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, Tyson Fury is something, obviously, if it comes, you know, it looks like it's kind of lining up that way, you know?
It does. And personality-wise, I think Chris and Tyson can really sell this fight. They're both very vocal. They don't hold back. They've been fighting for some time, even their young age. And, you know, to see a heavyweight Mexican versus a heavyweight Irish, it just spells for a good fight.
Right. Yeah, no, Tyson Fury's a big man, too. He's a big guy.
6'9", yeah.
Don't know if he could really deal with the pressure of in-shape, fully motivated Chris Arreola, though. You know, the one thing about Chris, man, when he's right, I mean, the pressure is unbelievable, you know.
How is, you guys were that active last year. How has it been? I mean, we both saw him when we were up in camp. Keeping him motivated, has that been tough at all? And also making sure that he's not stale.
You know, the fact that he only fought once last year was really had to do with circumstances. You know, he was supposed to fight on the Josecito Lopez and Ortiz card, so that would have been his second fight.
Right.
And the original Stavern fight was supposed to be December 15th. You know, so he had three scheduled fights during, you know, the June one he pulled out for due to an arm elbow injury. And the December fight with King obviously fell apart due to nothing that we could control. And, you know, we went from December 15th to January 26th to February 23rd to March 2nd and now March 9th, hopefully for sure, for good, you know. We've had a start and stop camp twice, so that's been a bit frustrating. We've had to, you know, start with sparring partners and send them home. And then, you know, there was a time in limbo. We didn't know what the hell was going to go on, you know?
Well, that's true. I mean, so I guess, yeah, I don't really blame you guys. I just wonder about keeping him so that he's not stale, that, you know, it looked like he was in the gym. I mean, do you think he's I guess I'm just, you know, do you believe in overtraining, or do you think it's just good to have a guy working all year?
Well, overtraining could be, but, you know, like I said, as soon as we knew the fight was changed, we stopped. You know, so it's not like he continued training all the way through, you know.
You didn't give him no Starbucks cards, did you?
Nah. Oh, no, we have a rule, man. If we have a rule in my gym.
Right.
You can't go to Starbucks and come to my boxing gym. That's one of the rules we have. You know, that shit's for computer nerds. You know, people going to school. You can't come to our boxing gym and after finishing a latte or any of that bullshit. Right. No, man.
Like, we don't do
that shit at our
gym. Caramel macchiato.
Hey, hold on. Yeah. Hold on for a minute. I don't want that caramel macchiato after all. Just put that away, please. Thank you.
Well, Chris is what? He's like 242, 243 right now?
He's probably like 45, you know, 45.
He's been pretty steady in that weight, you know?
Yeah. He just hangs around. He doesn't really get above 250. So anytime we start training camp, he, you know, anywhere between 45 and 50, you know?
The other thing Tyson Fury said was that if you guys weren't careful and not on your game, that Stavern actually could get away with the win here. He seems to think that this is a very real fight. Talk to us about Stavern. What do you see with this guy?
Absolutely. No, Stavern's a real threat. You know, this is by far Christian Tech's opponent since the Tomas Adamek fight. You know, he ain't telling me nothing. I don't know. I've known about Stavern since 05, 06.
Right.
I've seen him fight on the Valdemir Judah card. I've seen him fight on the Judah Mayweather card. You know, I had a guy sign with Don King when King buried him on undercards years and years ago when he was just barely on his way up, you know. So, you know, tell Fury thanks, but I don't need the insight. I know all about Stavern.
And I remember you telling us that, you know, before it was announced, that was the fight that you guys were looking in getting involved with. And I remember you saying that to us, that this is a live fight. This is a real fight for Chris, you know, a dangerous fight.
It's a real fight. You know, Stavern's got real power. You know, he could put the lights out one shot. You know, a lot of heavyweights can. Big, strong guy. He's got good hand speed. But to me, you know, he's kind of a guy who goes through lapses in the fight where he just doesn't throw any. Looks disinterested. Look, I expect the best Burmese Stavern that can be, you know, fighting for a heavyweight title eliminator.
Yeah, I think it's going to be
a really
good
with
fight.
His weight. He seems to be a good conditioned guy. He's a professional, you know. But it is weird. I mean, he went the distance with a guy that was like 13-10-3 in his last fight.
Right.
And only
right.
won also in 2012. And, you know, he's 34, whereas Chris is 30, you know, probably physically peaking. And the looking at him, I imagine he's just chomping at the bit, ready to get into a fight. I got to give the edge to the younger guy. But, yeah, Severn is.
Oh, yeah.
That power is real.
Well, not only younger guy, but the better all-around fighter. You know, Chris is a better all-around fighter, been tested more in the pros. You know, but that doesn't mean that Severn doesn't possess, you know, the tools to win the fight. That doesn't mean he doesn't present danger. You know, he absolutely does. Like I said, guys, this is Chris's first fight back on HBO after 3 long years of, you know, kind of having to go, kind of take a step back. And, you know, I'm sure Severn's motivated to be on HBO also, you know, in a heavyweight fight of some real significance. So, you know, we're not taking any chances. You know, basically, there's nothing I'm not going to be surprised about Verne Stavern. I know the guy inside and out, you know.
I'm excited to
fight,
man. No, I think it's going to be good.
Well, Henry, thank you, brother, for calling in and talking to us, man, here on Leaving the Ring on our Nooner show.
Yeah, all right, man. Let me know when you got to do a Nooner again, man. I'll definitely call in and try to, you know, talk a little shit.
All right, brother. Yeah. Thank you, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Henry Ramirez here with us, head trainer. Got a chance to hear what his thoughts were of the comments that Tyson heavyweight Fury said about him. And I had a lot of fun, man. You know what? It's been a long time since we've done an early show. I think it's been, over a year that we've done something early. We should do an early show on Sundays when we did the Prospect Watch, which we're gearing up to do again. And
I don't do anything early on a Sunday.
Anyways, everybody tuning in, thanks. If you missed the interview with Peter Fury, trainer of Tyson Fury and Tyson Fury himself, and Henry Ramirez, who was a surprise guest coming on to talk about the comments that the Furies have said about his fighter, Chris the Nightmare, don't worry about it. It'll be up on the website, leavingthering@gmail.com, leavingtheringradio.com. You can reach us at leavingtheringgmail.com. Appreciate it. Be sure to tune in tomorrow, Thursday night. We got a good lineup for everybody to tune in and listen at 5 Pacific time and 8 Eastern time here on Leaving the Ring Radio. Gabriel, brother, I will talk to you later.
All right, man. Peace. Have a good day.
You too.